Wasn't it a beautiful picture, that baby lying in the manger, that picture we just heard read for us from the Gospel of Luke? Familiar story to many of us, maybe not to all, but to many. But there's still these little details that I sometimes notice afresh or even notice for the first time. I wonder if you noticed what was said in the last sentence of that reading, the picture that it was painting for us. It said, Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. It's a very beautiful picture of a very real little bundle. This baby boy, this precious little man that she had to wrap up to keep warm. He was a real little boy, a little bit as real, I was going to say, as the little man Adrian, who's here with us today, who was born in our church to Ryan and Sam this year. This little baby of Mary's was as real as him. And Mary wrapped her baby boy in cloths. Can you see that picture? A mother tenderly wrapping her precious new baby in cloths. A little bit like when our second daughter Lucy was born. She's a bit bigger now, you just saw her. But when she was born, they wrapped her up all tight, this precious little bundle, new to the world. And like Lucy and like Adrian, it was the real world that this baby of Mary was born into. You can forget that with all the Christmas card pictures and decorations and things. Sometimes it's pictures like this, shafts of light and babies that glow. Not something I see every day. Or like this, people with plates around their heads. I've never fully understood that. Or even like this, string puppet people with plates around their heads. And with all these kind of pictures on Christmas cards and things, it can all seem a little bit unreal. But actually, despite the strange Christmas cards, the birth of Jesus actually happened in the real world, in the real hard world, actually. And did you hear it at the start of the first, at the start of the start of that last reading, where it said Caesar Augustus, the boss basically of the world at the time, the ruler of the Roman world, he issued a decree that a census should be taken, and then everyone had to get censused. Everyone had to go and get counted. Mary was living in a hard world, you see, where leaders could tell you to go somewhere, and if they did, you had to go, even if you were heavily pregnant. Decisions made by powerful people could turn the lives of ordinary people upside down. It was tough. It was the real world. It's the same world we live in. And in that real world, in our world, this mother gave birth to her little boy, and she wrapped him in cloths. Can you see that? That picture. But this is a picture of the real world in another way, too. In fact, this baby is the final picture. The final picture of a big group of pictures, which we've had sketched for some of them. We've had sketched for us today. When an artist paints a picture, they might make a sketch, first of all, a plan. And if you're not the artist and you look at that sketch, you might not have a clue what it's pointing towards, what it's going to end up as. You wouldn't know what the final outcome would look like because the colors and the precise shapes and the textures are missing. But if they show you the final picture, then it all starts to make sense. The colors and the detail are there, the holes have been filled in, and then when you look back at the sketch again, it becomes very clear that that's what the sketch was pointing to. That's where the sketch was going. Once you see the final thing, the sketches make more sense. Well, that baby that Mary wrapped in cloths, that baby Jesus, he was the final picture. Tonight we've heard, or this morning I should say, we've heard lots of sketches in these readings from the Bible, sketches that lead up to and point to and make the way for this final picture. Like in the video that we watched as well, where the pictures were layering on top of each other, the painting, incredible kind of thing, can't imagine how long it took to make, but all of those pictures were layering on top of each other, contributing to the direction of the final picture. But the difference with the picture that we've heard this morning from the Bible, compared to the sketch and the final painting, and compared to the video of layers of painting over the top of each other, the difference with the Bible is that all the sketches, in a way, put pieces in place of the final picture. And when you see them all together, and then you see the final picture, you see how they work together. That's why we heard a sketch covering the start of history, when in the beginning there was God, and the Word, and all things were made through the Word. We heard a sketch of humanity's rebellion, turning away from God, eating fruit from a particular tree, which was the one thing God had told them not to do. And then we heard of the consequences of that, the justice which had to be done. We actually find ourselves still living in this sketch, often living without reference, without care, without obedience to God, and living with the consequences of that decision now, facing further consequences in the future when we'll have to face God as those who have rejected him. We live in that sketch in a way now, today. And yet we also heard the sketch of the promise that God would bless all the peoples on earth through the descendants of one man, Abram, who was later called Abraham. And that meant that the consequences of our rebellion against God are not the end of the story. There's still hope. We heard a sketch from the book of Isaiah, very famous words, the promise of light returning to darkness, an end to war and hostility, a ruler of peace. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Those words so famously set to music by Handel in the Messiah about this son, this Prince of Peace, who was promised to bring peace to us through God's passion, God's zeal. We heard another slightly different sketch of a king from another prophet called Micah. And he described a shepherd king from Bethlehem. And it mentioned again bearing a son. And this king would keep his flock secure and safe like a shepherd cares for his sheep. So we heard all these sketches. And each one sort of makes sense on its own, but not with the full detail. And it isn't clear how or if they would actually fit together. But then we see a young woman get visited by a messenger of light. And he says, you will bear a son. And you'll bear a son in an incredible way. And next, there is this baby being wrapped in cloths in an animal keep in Bethlehem, placed in a feeding trough, a manger. And that baby is the final picture, the one that all the sketches were pointing towards, that they were all preparing for. That is the grand sweep. That is the beautiful story. That is the wonderful painting of God's purpose for life and the world. That's the picture that has captivated people at Christmas time for 2,000 years now. The Christmas magic, the Christmas beauty, the wonder. It was unexpected in many ways. There's no way you'd expect God's King to come amongst us like that. There's no way you would have been able to put together all these pictures and come up with this outcome. It's not like if you read all the sketches, you'd go, oh, that's what the final picture is going to look like. No, this final picture was a surprise. It wasn't the way it was expected. This baby wrapped in cloths, born to a peasant girl, lying in a manger. And yet, he came in a way that made sense of all the sketches. So when you look back on them, you go, oh, that's where it was going. All those things that had been promised. In fact, with this baby, though, he not only completes and sums up and fulfills those sketches from the Bible that have been given through the centuries before he came, he also fulfills all the sketches of humanity that are sketched deep in our hearts in one way or another. I'll try and show you what I mean. We have a sense, we have an inkling, we have a sketch drawn down deep within our hearts that there is a point, there is a purpose, there is a meaning to existence, there is a reason to live. Sometimes we have this deep, terrifying dread at the thought that maybe there isn't a point, but that in itself is pointing us to the fact that there should be a point of things. We have that sense in us. And when we think there's not a point, our worlds fall apart. Well, that's one sketch that we've got drawn down deep within us. We've got another one. It's connected. A sketch drawn deep within our souls that it matters when evil happens, when people suffer or are abused, when we're greedy at other people's expense, when the powerful oppress the vulnerable. We have this deep-seated sense that that matters. But if you think about it, if everything's just an accident, then it's entirely likely that those evils don't matter at all. If we're just accidents, then they're accidents. Doesn't matter. It's like I spilled my milk. But we can't get past the sense that actually those bad things that happen do matter and something should be done about them. It's deep drawn within us. We have another sense sketched deep into our souls, that there's something great about heroism, about someone who risks or even sacrifices themselves for someone else. We see it in all our greatest stories. We have a sense that there's something good and beautiful about relationships, that they really matter, that they are the stuff of life. We have a sense that love is a great virtue. We have these sketches drawn deep into our very natures. And this baby is like the final picture of those sketches as well. Because in him, God, the power and might behind the universe, himself came to us as a baby in a paradoxically beautiful way, in a perfect upside down kind of way. God himself came as a little baby. And he showed that life matters, that it has a point. He painted in the colors of the purpose of life. He showed that he himself was the point, and that we have our true joy and find our true beauty when we come to him. He made clear the picture of why evil and suffering do indeed matter. They are really evil. And he showed that he will do something about it, and there will be justice, and it won't all be left undealt with. He showed that relationships and heroism, self-sacrifice, do really matter, that love was the highest virtue. This baby would fulfill the colors and details of that in an extraordinary way because, as John said at the start, God so loved the world that he sent his son, that whoever believes in him would not perish and have everlasting life, but would have everlasting life. Why is that? Because, of course, this baby didn't stay a baby. He didn't stay as that little picture. He was the final picture, but the final picture in itself grew as he grew up. And he lived out his purpose, his intention. The full picture of Jesus moves from this Christmas magic to an Easter purpose. This morning we've only had time to sketch out the beginnings of this full picture, really, if you'll forgive the pun. We've only been able to begin to touch upon the fullness of this. But this is the truth. He came, and he came with a purpose which is fulfilled in Easter, at the cross and in the resurrection, as he gave himself so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. So I'd love to invite you to keep coming along here to explore this further. Perhaps starting with one of our Christmas services. At the end of the service, we'll have details up about our services for next weekend. Love to have you keep coming along. If you're visiting from out of town, why not find a church in your hometown to explore this further, to keep exploring the wonder of this full picture of Christmas in Jesus. Because there is a purpose to this Christmas magic. It has a direction. Even the coming of the Christmas baby is only the beginning of the fullness of the sketches. He's the full picture of all the sketches in our lives. And when you start to see the full picture, you know where you're going. And it ultimately begins to make sense and to create an understanding of the meaning that is in the universe, the meaning for everything. It's thoroughly worth continuing to explore. And so now let me finish with our final reading, which starts to point towards the fullness of why this baby came, the completeness of the picture. It actually follows on from the very first reading we had tonight in John's Gospel. It follows shortly on after it. This is from the Gospel of John, beginning at chapter 1, verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace, grace in place of grace already given. For For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made